Welcome to the weekly broadcast of the Father's House International in Westminster, South Carolina. We are bringing forth and reestablishing the apostolic message, movement, and ministry, and God's fatherhood and family in all dimensions. We are a local, regional, and national ministry that is cross-cultural and multiracial. Now, here is our founder and host, Dr. Seymour.
Mark 8:22. And he cometh, Jesus cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought Jesus to touch the blind man, Now, this blind man I'm going to preach about today is found only in Mark 8, So we'll cover the blind man in Mark 8 in a little bit, but let me back up and review a little bit about a man born blind in John chapter 9, verse 1. The blind man from birth in the temple, as Jesus passed by and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And make a long story short, Jesus spat on the ground, he spit on the ground, made clay of spittle.
Yes, sir.
Remember that? Spit. He spat on the ground.
Right.
And made clay of spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Okay? He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. He did. The neighbors, therefore, in John 8 and 9 and 8, and they which had seen him that was blind said, and they which had before had seen him, knew he was blind, born blind, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But the blind man healed said, I am he. I am he. Therefore, watch this. They ask him over and over and over again. He has to go through it over and over and over again. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, spit on the clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. They ask him over and over and over again. He has to go through it over and over and over again. So, make a long story short, let's take up now in John 9:24.
Yes, sir.
Then again called they the man that was blind from his birth and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. You praise God, don't praise Jesus. Well, Jesus is God. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. I know not. One thing I do know, once I was blind now, see, then they said unto him again, that's five times I think, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered, I have told you already, you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples if I tell you something about it? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow that you call Jesus, we know not from whence he is. This man answered and said unto him, why herein is a marvelous thing, the blind man said, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know, John 9:31, that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God, and doeth his will, God heareth him.
Amen.
John 9:32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? It's never been known. Remember that what I just said.
Okay.
If this man were not of God, he could do nothing, the boy said. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out of the synagogue. Right? John 9:35, when Jesus heard they cast him out of the synagogue, Jesus came and found him and said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord? I don't know who he is, that I might believe on him. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. I'm him. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Hallelujah. Now, blind man of Bethsaida, only found in Mark 8. Jesus passed by a blind man on the way to Bethsaida. He was healed by Jesus in two stages, two. They bring a blind man to Jesus for Jesus to touch him. Mark 8, 22, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. So two, as a result to the intent that he would come and touch him. Come and help Tomei attach himself to this blind man. Touch him. Fasten to him. Remember, when Jesus touches somebody that's in need, fire comes out of him and it touches the one in need. So he set this blind man on fire. The need of this blind man set Jesus, had the fire in him to rise up and touch the blind man, him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. I mean, what's going on here? Why lead the man out of town? Why did Jesus lead him out of town to do this miracle? Here are a few possible explanations. Jesus led the blind man out of the village of Bethsaida for several connected reasons relating to the town's unbelief. The need for private meeting or setting, need for the private setting to use the healing as a symbolic lesson for his disciples to see who would become apostles. Secondly, judgment of Bethsaida. Jesus had previously performed many miracles in Bethsaida, but the people remained unrepentant and spiritually blind. Didn't cause them to repent. So Jesus didn't want any interference. So by leading the man out, Jesus was making a statement of judgment, effectively withdrawing his blessings and not performing another miracle within the unrepentant city limits of Bethsaida. Avoiding crowds and seeking privacy, Jesus frequently attempted to keep his miracles private, away from the spotlight in many cases. His private interaction with the blind man was more intimate, more personal than performing a miracle publicly. Cultivating personal faith by taking the blind man, which was an act of individual care and compassion, Jesus fostered trust. He fathered the trust and built it up in him and focused the man's attention solely on him. Jesus said, keep your focus on me. Well, he is God. And away from his distractions of the blind man and potential skepticism of the crowd. So Jesus spat on his eyes and put his hands upon him and asked if he saw anything. Mark 8 and 23, and he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of town. He put his spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw aught. So he took him out. He took epilem ben amai, which means he seized him from injury. I'm going to take you out of this. He attained and laid hands upon him like a superimposition. He didn't say, would you come? He just said, come on here. He got him by the hand. Let's go. He just kind of superimposed. Let's get out of here. Taking you out of town. Right? Well, so Lambano took hold of him, took the blind man, physically blind, by the hand and led him, carried him forth and brought him out of town. Surely did. And when he had spit, and when Jesus had spit, and by the way, this word spit is spit, but it also comes from the word petamame, it means to fly, flying. So his spit flew to him. Spit on him. There's a flying of the spittle that comes out of your mouth. Right? And when he had spit on, indicating the point reached, his eyes, and it put epitithame, it means to impose, to lay upon, epi superimposition, his hands upon him like an imposition, superimposition. He asked him and said, if, do you see aught? Can you see anything? Do you see anything? Do you see any person? Do you see any object? Well, why saliva? God, listen. Why saliva? Why? Saliva. Why? Why? Why did it take saliva? Come on, somebody. Why were his hands not just sufficient? Why did he put saliva? Why? I want to know why. Right? So why saliva? Well, salivation, the natural process of producing and secreting saliva in the mouth, like a salivation. It's essential for digestion, lubrication, and oral protection, often triggered by hunger, desire, illness, or certain medications can cause spittle to come up and saliva to rise up inside you. Saliva has many symbolic meanings. Many symbolic meanings in the ancient Eastern world. Some are positive, some are negative. Human saliva has antibacterial properties, cleansing. From the dawn of time, people have used saliva in a pinch to clean and moisten something. Saliva could be a handy all-purpose lubricator when you don't have access to more proper sources that would lubricate. Wounds inside the mouth are healed very quickly than wounds in other areas due to much saliva being present in your mouth. Heals quickly. And when I'm preaching this, what I'm trying to bring to you to tell you, the blind man of Bethsaida, Jesus spat on his eyes and put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw anything. Well, why saliva? Why saliva? So again, wounds inside the mouth heal more quickly than wounds in other areas due to much saliva being present in the mouth. Saliva can actually regrow teeth enamel. If you have a cavity in your teeth, if it is possible for your saliva to regrow your enamel, if it can, and fill up the cavity, like mineral water in caves, dripping constantly, creating stalactites and also stalagmites. You see that?
Yes,
sir. So it's like rich water in caves, dripping constantly and creating stalactites and also stalagmites. Animals clean themselves and their young using saliva.
Yes,
the dogs lick Lazarus' wounds as an effort to clean them and to soothe and to comfort him. They lick his wounds, Lazarus the dogs did. Cultures all through history have believed that using saliva, they believe all through history. So cultures all through history have believed in using saliva for medical purposes, It was believed and also proven to be true in some cases that the saliva that one produces while fasting was cleaner and more potent than regular saliva. The olden doctors of old times called it fasting saliva. Fasting saliva was used in many different methods of healing and medicine back then. Saliva was used in many different methods of healing and medicine, especially fasting saliva was preferred to use. There were different remedies recorded as cures for bodily injury using fasting saliva. One popular one was to rub fasting saliva upon an aching shoulder blade, and it would bring relief. It would bring relief on an aching shoulder blade. The thought of it seems distasteful to us today, but one cannot deny that God equipped humans and animals with a very useful tool in their own saliva. Saliva does not only have cleansing properties. Does not only have some antibacterial properties, cleansing antibacterial, but saliva also has an aesthetic property. Saliva actually numbs you and reduces your pain. The main anesthetic property in saliva is a protein, a peptide called opiorphin. Opiorphin, it is the natural form of what drug companies copied to make artificial opioid drugs. In clinical studies using rats, natural human opiorphin has proven to be stronger pain-killing than morphine. The anesthetic properties in saliva is the reason why you instinctively put your finger in your mouth when you hurt it like you hit it with a hammer. People do that, you see? God built that instant reaction into us without even knowing why we do it. It's also, God put that instinct inside us. It's also the underlying reason of a mother kissing a child's hurt and says, it'll be better now. It'll be okay. It'll be better now. Well, she put some saliva there. Do you see? So this saliva in your mouth has anesthetic properties, has cleansing, antibacterial cleansing. Saliva actually numbs you and reduces your pain. Saliva in animals, saliva in animals, and some predators will first lick and allow their prey for a while, their prey, that coats them with saliva, produces a partial numbing effect. It also tenderizes the flesh. It starts a breaking down process. So again, saliva in animals, some predators will first lick and lap their prey for a while. This coats them in saliva and produces a partial numbing effect. It also tenderizes the flesh and starts a breaking down process. Mosquitoes, upon biting you, when a mosquito bites you, it will inject a little of their saliva into you. This numbs you just enough so they can begin to drink your blood without you noticing it. Mosquitoes, upon biting you, will first inject a little of their saliva into you that numbs you just enough that they can begin to drink your blood without you knowing it. With spiders, it's more complicated. With spiders, it's more complicated. They have saliva, and also they have venom. Spiders have saliva and venom, more complicated. And sometimes the two are mingled. They have saliva and venom. Sometimes the two are mingled. The saliva does numb its prey some from the spider. The venom is far stronger and numbs you even more powerfully. Snakes like spitting cobras. Their saliva is full of venom. Their venom will numb and paralyze their prey. Their venom will numb and paralyze their prey. Spitting cobras. Venom is like evil, harmful saliva. And by the way, when I'm preaching this, what I'm trying to bring to you to tell you, the blind man of Bethsaida, only found in Mark 8, that's all. Jesus spit on his eyes. He put his spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw aught. Why did it take saliva? Come on, somebody. Why were his hands not just sufficient? Why did he put saliva? Why? I want to know why. Right? So again, venom is like evil, harmful saliva. It numbs, it paralyzes, attacks nerves, and poisons. Regular non-venomated saliva also is helpful in numbing it also. It also numbs. Opiorphine is the protein peptide in saliva that produces a helpful numbing, pain-killing effect. So opiorphine is a protein peptide in saliva that produces a helpful numbing, pain-killing. The word is related to the word opioid, which treats moderate to severe pain. Addictive properties like even physiological effect upon your body can make people feel very, very, can make you feel relaxed and even high. Opioid. So the word is related to opioid, the drugs that are already strong and harmful to you. Opioid, the drugs that are already very strong and harmful for you, are also the illegal ones that are flooding our nation. The word opioid is also from the same root as the Greek word is for opium, O-P-I-U-M.
Yes, sir.
So opioid, O-P-I-O-I-D, opioid, is from the root word, the Greek word, of opium, O-P-I-U-M. It's like a narcotic. It can become very addictive. Opos, O-P-O-S, the juice of poppy seed, you get opium, O-P-I-U-M, okay? The Greek word for snake / serpent is ophis, O-P-H-I-S. Both can supposedly be traced to a common root of an even older language, Sanskrit, ancient India area, where the word for opium is the word for snake venom. The word opium is derived from the Greek word opion, in Arabia it's known as afrun, In Chinese, it is yipion. In Persian, it's known as apium. In Sanskrit, it's known as ashifin, meaning snake venom. Snake venom. Showing a very old common connection between orphis, snake, opos, opium, uium, opiorphin, and opiods. So showing a very common connection between orphis, like a snake, opos, opium, uium, opiorphin, and opiods. Between saliva and good natural opiorphin, between saliva and good opiorphin, and snake venom, false, harmful opioid drug, snake venom. The devil's venom in this insurgency in our nation of deadly illegal drugs is coming all the time. Anyway, back to saliva. Related to the word salve, S-A-L-V, salve, I salve, salvation. Back to saliva, relating to the word salve, like I salve, and also salvation, same. Jesus said in Revelation 3:18, I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see, that thou mayest see. Get the blind off of you, the spiritual blind. From the Latin common root word, salvus and salvio. From the common Latin root word, salvus, S-A-L-V-U-S, and salvio, S-A-L-V-E-O, meaning to be well, to be healthy, to be in good health, could also be used as a greeting. The same root for Spanish word, salud, S-L-U-D, meaning help or good health to you. Hey, good health to you. Salud, good health to you. The words could be used even to hail a deity and say hello. The verb salven, S-A-L-V-E-N, meant to treat or heal spiritually. The word salven meant to treat or heal spiritually. Another meaning of salve, came from a Latin salvare, S-A-L-V-A-R-E, salvare, meaning fit for salvation. So the verb salven, S-A-V-L-V-E-N, meant to treat or heal spiritually. Another meaning for salve, comes from a Latin salvare, S-A-L-V-A-R-E, meaning to fit, is fit for salvation. Through the years and cultures, all the words were interrelated, intertwined one way or the other. So again, all these words through all the years and cultures, all these words were interrelated, intertwined one way or the other. Some cultures begin to see saliva slash spitting. Some cultures begin to see saliva spitting as derogatory. Some cultures see saliva and spitting is derogatory. You see?
Yes, sir.
The Hebrews and Middle Eastern people would spit when they had said something bad. They would.
Yes, sir.
The Hebrews and Middle Eastern people would spit when they said something bad. The Jewish people associated saliva with good, both good healing and curative purposes. So the Jewish people, they associated saliva with both good and healing curative purposes, and also with bad contempt and disgusting purposes. They saw the good and the bad. So the Hebrews of Middle Eastern people would spit when they said something bad, like the name of a false god, like an idol, if they said something. But they would spit so that they would cleanse their mouth of even saying these bad words. They did not want to swallow the name of an idol or bad things. They wanted to spit it out. They did not want to swallow the name of an idol or bad things. If you swallowed it, you were taking that name into yourself. If you swallowed it, you were incorporating that idol into your soul. So instead, you would spit it out away from yourself. This was still an act of cleansing your being. Cleansing your being. The spitting itself, it was not dirty. The spitting itself was not dirty. It was just part of a process. Part of a process where you were rejecting evil and cleansing yourself. So the spitting out was not dirty. It was just a part of a process where you were rejecting evil and cleansing yourself. Also, saliva is derived, listen to this, now you ready? Where does it come from? You want to know where it comes from? So saliva is derived from your own blood. Your own blood. Saliva is derived from your own blood. Saliva has a liquid base produced by your body. Where does this fluid come from? So saliva is derived from your blood, your own blood. Saliva has a liquid base produced by your body. Where does this liquid come from? Some of the raw liquid materials come from your own blood. And it's filtered by your body and recycled. Some of these raw liquid materials come from your own blood. And it's filtered out by body and recycled. Sent up through different systems and mixes with the products of your salivary glands, So sent back through different systems, mixes and produces of your salivary glands. So saliva is a filtrate. Saliva is a filtrate of your own blood. It's a filter.
Yes, sir.
Like filtrate, which means a liquid which has passed through a filter, creating a cleaner product, making fluids clearer. So again, filtrate, a liquid which has passed through a filter to create cleaner products, making fluids clearer. So saliva is a filtrate of your own blood. Saliva is born from your very own blood. When Jesus spit on the clay, Holy Ghost. When Jesus spit on the clay, he made a salve for the blind man's eyes, thus healing him. When Jesus spit on the clay and made a salve for the blind man's eyes, thus healing him, it was a reminder. It was a reminder of the original act of creation. It was a reminder of the actual act of creation, the original act of creation. When God formed man of the dust of the ground, Genesis 2 and 7, and used water to mix, mold it into clay, which was eventually turned into living flesh. And after God breathed into it, into clay form, he became a living one. So Jesus, you hear this? Took the clay, God took the clay. In the original act of creation, when God formed man out of the dust of the ground, Genesis 2 and 7, he used water to mix mold into clay over the ground, which eventually turned into living flesh after he breathed breath of life into that clay form. Jesus was reenacting original creation. Jesus was reenacting original creation, remaking the blind man's eyes like as at the beginning. Jesus was reenacting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God.
We trust that you've been helped during today's broadcast with Dr. Seymour from the Father's House International. Join us right here on WGOG every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We invite you to come be with us in our weekly services at the Father's House International, Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. We are located at 415 Pateas Way, Westminster, South Carolina. For directions or additional information, call us at 864-647-7777. That's 864-647-7777. Until next week, may you allow God to bring you into a greater measure of His truth and a deeper level of relationship with Himself.